Hi, Andrew.
Hey Kevin, thanks for having me.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah, you bet. Glad we could connect. Cool. Well, let's start right now with your year of graduation, including if you finish coursework spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Yeah, I graduated in fall of 2023 with a major in pro music. My concentrations were music business, songwriting, and music production.
Very nice. And what was your principal instrument?
My principal instrument was guitar.
Cool. All right. So, hey, we will get to your history later. But for now, please tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
I work at Harvard University in the Harvard Alumni Association, and the Harvard Alumni Association is one of four units within Alumni Affairs and Development, and in total, there are 500 people working in Alumni Affairs and Development. I work on the
Wow.
events team in the Harvard Alumni Association. We are university-wide alumni engagement and events. That name is a mouthful. So when I say
Is this
university,
events like, you invite everyone from the class of 1985 back for a weekend or reunion and that type of thing?
yeah, that's a good question. So, in our name, university-wide, it means we host events that all Harvard alumni can attend. So it's
Okay.
not just, alumni from the college or the business school. We have to create programming that would be interesting to all of them. People at the design school, people at the law school, and we do a little bit of work with reunions. Every employee in Alumni Affairs and Development is expected to do some shifts around that time of year working the events, but that is pretty much what we do all year. We do a lot of planning around reunions. Not my team, actually. There's a team that's dedicated to reunions, and they handle most of the planning for that, but we do a lot of the planning for Harvard Alumni Day, which is one day where every alum of the university is invited back to campus. We host a lot of webinars throughout the year. If any Harvard administrators are traveling, speaking to different Harvard clubs around the country, we'll plan for that. And we help run the events for the Alumni Board of Directors. So, yeah, a lot of different kinds of events going on, and we have to help plan for all of them.
Got it. Can I get your job title?
I am an alumni relations assistant, which is basically just it's the staff assistant level at Harvard.
Right.
And
I imagine, given your graduation, this is like the entry level position.
yeah, it is.
No problem. And by the way, I don't know if you probably know since you work at college, right? When a faculty is hired, they typically have the rank of assistant professor, but that doesn't mean they're like helping somebody else. It's just,
Right.
called that. So, okay, cool. And let's see, can you sort of take us through a typical day at work? Like, what are you doing there? And by the way, is your job like in person, hybrid, remote?
Oh, yeah. So my team is remote for most of the time. We have typically we'll do four remote days and one in office day every week. That in office day is usually Wednesdays.
Gotcha.
And there are sometimes throughout the year, like last week, we had our October HAA board meeting, which we had to be in person for. So that was 3 days a week, and it's kind of like one of the busiest times of year. But I would say the job is like 80 to 85% of the time, it's chill, you can work at your own pace, but then the other 15% of the time is, you're kind of rushing to get work done or you're doing in-person events. So there's, it's, yeah, you kind of have to find that balance.
Got it. I'm sorry, about how many events do you do in a month?
It
Or no,
varies.
I get
I
okay.
would say that in the summer, it's a lot slower. In the fall is when it starts to pick up. We usually do lots of, I would say around 2 to 3 webinars per month during
Okay.
the academic year. And I would say right now we're actually doing less in-person events than usual, but typically we do events with university administrators who travel to different Harvard clubs around the country and address the alumni communities in those different states. So in the past, they've done a lot of travel to LA, New York, Chicago is another big one. Just anywhere with a big base of alumni, they like to travel there and address alumni directly.
Sure, got it. That makes sense. How big's your team, by the way?
We are 6 people, and the Harvard Alumni Association has about 50 people working in it.
Understood. All right. So, one of the criteria you have to hit in order to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So, what is it about your job that you enjoy?
That's a good question. There's lots of I'll just start with a lot of the perks that come with working at this job. The big one is the, like I mentioned, the remote work. That's been just great because the job that I had before this was, 5 days in person. Working at Harvard University, you get great benefits. And it's kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. People dream about working at places like Harvard. And when you stop and think about it, it's still hard to believe that it's you working there. The job, in terms of the job itself, I get to work with data a lot in terms of managing registration lists and looking at our and helping main add the data to the database that we use, the CRM that we use. So that's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to get more experience with tools like Excel. I've had some Excel experience, but to actually get hands-on experience in a practical application in an actual job setting, I think was really good.
Gotcha. That's great. So, all right. Let's take it back now to 2023, as Berkeley was winding down for you. Although, if you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, we could take it back earlier than 2023. But otherwise, put us in your headspace as you were wrapping up Berkeley, both in terms of what you were looking for as a career. And we'll take it one step from there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also where you were at mentally regarding which direction you want your career to go.
Okay, yeah. In my last semester, it was kind of all over the place. I was job searching, but at the same time, I was trying to start a business, which didn't wind up taking off. I had this idea for a startup, but it just never really materialized, I would say.
Okay.
And
Was it a music startup?
yeah, that's a good question. It was supposed to be an ads website like Craigslist, but for music lessons. And my goal was to make it more affordable for the people actually posting the listings.
Sure.
I had a working prototype of the website, but when I finally launched it and announced it to the public, it never really took off the way that I had hoped. And I could kind of tell that I was putting a lot of time into something that was never really going to materialize, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, so that and then and by the way, are you from the Boston area or?
Yeah, I'm from the Metro West area.
Okay, cool. All right, so then what?
Well, I started job searching,
Mm-hmm.
and I would say that around that time is when the job market started getting worse. I wouldn't say it's as bad as it is right now, but just in terms of finding a job, it was pretty difficult. I think one of
Yeah,
the
for what it's worth, having sort of looked at the trends, it's been the last few years have gotten, especially the last year to two, it's gotten really ugly for people entering the job market.
Yeah, and there's multiple reasons for that. Interest rates are higher than they have been, and companies, it seems like every company is kind of cutting back right now.
Yeah, so as you say, you start looking at 2024, a little bit ugly, and so what happens then?
Well, I got this job at MIT. I was brought on as a contract worker, and I kind of just did that for a while. It had nothing to do with music. But when I was getting out of college, I also started a YouTube channel. It didn't have anything to do with music. It had to do with finance and investing because I started getting interested in that while I was going to Berkeley.
Oh,
And
interesting.
I was watching some finance and investing YouTubers at the time, and I kind of figured, okay, I could probably do this too. I'd had some experience with video editing for my capstone project for Pro Music. So I kind of took what I learned from there and started applying it to my YouTube channel. So even if I wasn't doing something related to music, I already was kind of seeing how I could apply it to other things. I'll talk more about that YouTube channel later, because that will
Sure,
come up again.
interesting. So, okay, it sounds like when you're applying, like, were you determined to stay in the Boston area, or were I'm curious, like, in terms of how much were you applying to music jobs versus non-music jobs, right? Were you already thinking I'm not going to do music, or hey, if it hits, great, but I'm staying in Boston, or was it just kind of randomly the MIT thing hit?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say I was definitely looking for music related jobs, and I was looking for jobs outside of it. I was looking at a lot of music adjacent jobs, so things related to AV, things like that. I think that the biggest weakness that Berkeley has is actually that it is located in Boston, because my plan was kind of to stay in Boston. But the thing with Berkeley is that pretty much when people graduate, 90% of people are either going to New York, LA, Nashville, Miami to a lesser extent. And so those of us who stay in Boston are kind of left to pick up the scraps. I don't really know anyone in my friend group who's still in Boston. I think they've all moved out. But
Certainly, if you're going to UCLA, a larger percentage of people are going to stay in LA.
yeah, that makes sense.
Got it. So this sounds like you're applying just looking for something to hit because you need a job. By the way, you said that MIT contract. What were you doing for MIT?
Oh, that's a good question. I was kind of intentionally vague about it, but it was long enough ago that I can laugh about it now. I worked as a desk associate in MIT graduate dorms. It was the worst job I've ever had.
Well, for what it's worth, if working a desk job is the worst job you've ever had, you're better off than some.
That's
But gotcha.
true. Yeah, I suppose it could be worse.
Okay, so you're there at MIT for what, some number of months? And
Yeah, I started as a contract worker, and there's something else that I didn't tell you about this job. I started as a contract worker there, and they told me that they wanted to bring me on full time, but the only full time position they had available was evening shift, which included weekends. So I was an evening shift desk associate in MIT graduate dorms.
Got it. So yeah, there goes the social life, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, so how long were you at MIT for, all told?
I did the contract role for a few months, and then I was an MIT employee for almost 10 months.
Got it. So that takes us into 2025. I'm guessing at some point, yeah. And then you said Harvard came next. So how did you end up getting the Harvard job?
You're gonna love this. When I was going to Berkeley, and even after Berkeley, I thought that connections were the only way to get into a job, and I still think it is the best way. But I literally got this job just by applying on Harvard's job portal. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have an internal reference. I didn't know someone who told me about this job. It was just the classic case of applying online, and they reached out for an interview. Usually, when I apply to a job and it goes more than a week without them getting back to me, I assume that I didn't get the job and that
Sure.
they'll either ghost me or send me an automated rejection email. But in this case, they reached out to me like a few weeks later after I had submitted my application. And then I took the interview. I did three rounds of interviews. I did well in all of them, and then I got the job.
Oh, that's terrific. So can I ask, like, how long had you been applying to jobs after getting the MIT one? Right? Had you just done a few applications, then this one hit, or were you like at some point, like, well, I'll take the evening weekend thing, but this sucks, and you start rapidly churning out resumes to
Yeah,
and.
I didn't start just applying immediately. I waited a little while before I started applying, because I was doing a certification at the time, in data analysis. And I was thinking,
Okay.
okay, I can do this certification and then maybe it'll lead to an entry-level data analyst role or something
Could
like
ask, can
that.
you tell us really quick what was that certification like? Could you get it through?
I did that one through Course Careers.
Got it.
They're not, I wouldn't say they're the most reputable or they have the greatest reputation, but what I will tell you is that I learned so much in doing it. And just because they don't have the best reputation or anything, I will say I learned a lot in that certification.
Got it. So it sounds like you're at MIT, you do this thing, you then say, okay, I got the certification, time to apply to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
Did I?
that's pretty much what happened. And I was
And were you
focusing
I
on
was gonna say, staying in higher ed or everywhere?
I would say my preference was higher ed just because there are so many universities in the Boston area, but I was looking at pretty much everything. I even applied to a job at WeWork in Cambridge, and I actually got an interview there, but it didn't wind up panning out.
Sure. All right. So as you said, you started at Harvard, what, spring of 2025?
Yeah, I started in January 2025.
Oh, January. Okay. Congratulations. You've been there the better part of a year, hired into your current position, I assume.
Yes, and
And
can we just backtrack a little bit because I want to tell you
please.
about my YouTube channel.
Oh, yes. Tell, do tell.
Yeah, so it was November in 2024, and I had been in a bit of a rut with the channel. I did four straight videos that like full length videos that got less than 100 views. And so I was in the middle of a kind of a break from uploading. And I was just so frustrated with the job market and my inability to get a job that I was like, you know what? I can probably make a video about this. There were some creators I was watching at the time where I kind of emulated their style. And on Thanksgiving Day of 2024, I uploaded a video titled "The Job Market is Cooked." And for the first 3 days, it got, again, less than 100 views, nothing. But then on that Sunday, I opened up my laptop and went onto YouTube Studio, and the views were exponential. And right now, that video has 125,000 views, and my
Wow.
YouTube channel has over 3,000 subscribers.
That's awesome. Congratulations. I may have to watch this yourself. Do you just upload under your own name, or are you, Berkeley guy or something?
Yeah, I use a different name.
Gotcha. Well, if you don't want to share it, then just shoot me an email with the
Okay.
link to that video. I'd love to watch
Okay.
it.
Yeah, I will.
All right, cool. So awesome. Well, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. So, and I'm going to preface this question with there is no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
So these days, meaning let's say summer, fall of 2025, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
It's been a, it, I'm going to be honest, it's actually been a long time since I've written music, but I do still get the itch sometimes. I was just really focused on YouTube after I graduated, and I was kind of thinking like, okay, maybe that can be my path to entrepreneurship. And again, the YouTube channel didn't really have anything to do with music. But lately, I've actually stopped uploading to the channel, and I can talk. I know I'm not really answering your question right now, so I can come back to this if you'd like. But
Oh, it's a good let her rip. I mean, as long as you answer me eventually, go ahead.
okay, sure. So I guess the short answer is that YouTube just stopped being fun after a while. What I learned is that I made one job market video, and the only thing people really wanted to hear me talk about was the job market. And after a while, it gets to the point where you're just making the same video over and over again, and that's the only way you can get views. I enjoyed it while I was looking for a job, and I was kind of feeling the struggle, but it just got old after a while, and I decided that, the 150 bucks a month I was making off of YouTube wasn't really worth the, hours and hours of work that was going into it. So
Sure.
I'm kind of in between projects right now. I always have a project going on, whether it's in music or something else. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what my next project outside of work is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be in music or something else, but
All right, but it sounds like you're not, I guess, have you picked up your guitar in the last couple months, or is it just.
yeah, definitely. I still play.
Oh, you still play? Okay, here we go. So, are you playing at home just to track or for fun, or are you going to open mics or jamming with other people, or.
It's all at home. I was thinking at one point last year that because I was living in Cambridge at the time, it might be fun to busk in Cambridge. So I was kind of working on a busking set list, but I never wound up doing that. But it was fun to have like a even if it's just a small music project, just something like that going still. But I still play as much as I can.
Got it.
I don't
For
want to,
yourself,
I
yeah.
don't want to lose the ability. So I guess it's more for me than anything else.
That's right. I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain, which is I mentioned those presentations I do, and I stuff everybody into one of four categories here, which basically go, side job, casual, personal, and passive. Passive, like not doing music, side job, you're still making decent money doing it. Casual, you're playing out in front of people or, uploading songs, but you're not really making money. And personal, you're doing it, at home for yourself, maybe your partner. It sounds like, I'm going to put you in the personal category.
Okay, sure.
And again, it's like the snapshot, right? If someone's doing something amazing next year, did something amazing a year ago, that's nice. But the question is right now. So cool. Next question I have for you is, there you are working at Harvard University Alumni Association. I'm guessing you're one of fairly few music school grads who is working there in that
Yeah,
role.
that's correct.
Yeah, so people are coming there from all different places. But let's say, compared to if you'd gone to UMass Amherst, right? Is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career?
I would say that in terms of just working a 9-to-5 job like I am right now, it prepares you in one of the big things it prepares you for is how to fail. Because I had many business ideas which did not pan out, many artist projects which did not pan out while I was at Berkeley. And it teaches you how to fail. It teaches you persistence. And being in an environment where you're surrounded by other talented musicians, many of whom are more talented than you might be, who are pursuing successful artist projects, it pushes you to work hard as well. And I became a bit of a workaholic while I was going to Berkeley. I've kind of lost that a little bit, but I feel like the work ethic is still there. So I would say that the big things that it teaches you are the soft skills, the things that won't show up on a resume.
All right. Great answer. And now we'll flip that question around now. So Berkeley gives primarily that bachelor's in music degree, which you went there knowing that, and here you are, you're doing quite well for yourself. But all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Anything missing or incomplete in your education?
I would say in terms of preparing students for life after graduation, I would say that there are a couple things, but the first thing I'll say is they do kind of tell you that you need to have a plan, but I kind of wish they really drilled that into you earlier on. And they also push networking pretty hard, which is good, and they do teach you to kind of network with industry professionals, which is also good. But I feel like a lot of the times what winds up happening is you just wind up networking with other Berkeley students who may or may not be able to help you get an opportunity someday, and who are also kind of a lot of the relationships you build at Berkeley are transactional in a way. Like, everyone wants to get their big break, and everyone's like, it's the kind of thing where nobody's coming to save you. You know, if you kind of lose your way while you're there, not many people are really going to care. Whereas I feel like people who are actively working in the industry right now are kind of more secure in their position and would have more means and be more willing to help you out with stuff. So I kind of wish they kind of push the idea of networking with people who are actually in the industry right now. They do it a little bit. I just wish it was like a little bit more.
Very fair. So, next question I have for you is, you ended up at that MIT thing, which you said you didn't really love, but then you had a direction. You say, hey, I'll get a certification in data analysis, and hopefully lead me to a better job. Colleges are cool, and you're I'm not saying this is the last job you'll ever have in your career, but I'd say you landed in a good place. You're on a good path. Many people, graduate recently haven't yet found that path. And there's also the current group of Berkeley students who might be staring out into the big scary world and not sure what's going to happen next. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Oh boy. Okay. I would say that this is going to sound really cliche, but I know this from experience in that YouTube channel is if you're pursuing a project, you have to actually enjoy the work you're doing because that's the only way you're going to be able to sustain yourself to keep doing it when you're not getting the success that you want to get out of it. I know that from experience in the YouTube channel, because it after a while it just stopped being fun, and every time I would push through and just say, I'm just gonna force myself to sit down and record this video, the result was just it was never what I wanted, even if the video got a good amount of views. I didn't feel good about the video because I knew that it wasn't my best work. So, if you're pursuing a project, whether it's related to music or not, you have to actually enjoy it because you're going to be competing against people who absolutely love the thing that you're doing right now, and they enjoy doing it 10 times more than you. So, in terms of pursuing entrepreneurship, that's the big thing. If you're going to go down that route, if you're gonna go down the 9 to 5 job route, again, whether it's related to music or not, again, you have to enjoy the work that you're doing, and you have to build up the soft skills that will make you stand out. Because you can have an impressive resume, but unless the recruiter actually enjoys talking to you, they're not going to move forward with your application. And one more thing that I will say is to kind of keep up in terms of you have to kind of keep up in terms of your skill set. You have to keep up in terms of how efficiently you work. That's a big thing that companies are looking for in 2025 going into 2026 is they want efficiency. That's why they're cutting so much middle management at these companies. And you have to show these companies that you're going to be a net revenue, a net profit generator for them. So it's really difficult to stand out in this job market and as an entrepreneur, but if you can find a way, you have to do it.
Gotcha. That's great. You're bringing back memories of my own, by the way, was saying that where for about a year and a half, I was studying computer science until I discovered one day to my horror that all my classmates actually liked that crap. I
Yeah.
went, oh my God, I think I'm on the wrong path here. So great. Gonna just focus in a little bit now because you're again, I think said my 271st interview. No one's listening to all 271. Anyone
Right.
who's made it this far, I'm gonna have you in alumni relations.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
And the sort of broader category education slash training. And anyone who's made it this far is maybe thinking of that, or at least some sort of, higher ed admin job as a potential career, at least stepping step. So for anyone who's not yet doing it, but is seriously thinking, hey, maybe I'll work in alumni relations or at least do some, admin job in higher education, do you have any specific advice for them?
I had a feeling you were going to ask this question, and I'm going to be honest, the answer I'm going to give isn't all sunshine and rainbows. I'm sure you know that it's been a pretty tough year for higher education, and the outlook isn't great, at least in my opinion. Have you heard of the enrollment cliff before?
I mean, I know, yeah, yes,
Yeah,
working in
so.
higher ed, I know that in general, the number of college incoming freshmen, right, it was dropping something like 15 or 20% between 2020 and 2035 or something like that.
Yeah. So we're pretty much at the peak right now of incoming college graduates in the US, and it's going to keep going down. So I think if you're looking to work at a place like Harvard or MIT, you know, those places are going to be fine. If you want to work at Berkeley, Berkeley is probably going to be fine. The big schools, the established top 25, or places like Berkeley where it's the leader in a specific niche. But if you look at Boston area schools like Emmanuel College, Emerson College, I think those are the kinds of places that are going to struggle for enrollment. That's just my opinion. But I think that if you're looking to stay in the Boston area, it can still be a good option just because there are so many universities located in Boston. Right now, they're slowing hiring. Harvard is officially in a hiring freeze, but they're still able to fill some positions. I know that MIT did a hiring freeze, and I'm sure that some other universities in Boston did. I know that BU did a round of layoffs over the summer.
My
So,
wife works at BU, so
oh,
yes.
okay. Yeah. So, yeah, the outlook, at least for over the, I would say, the next 3 to 5 years, doesn't look great. But I think long term, again, Harvard University, it's not going anywhere. MIT, it's not going anywhere. These really established universities. And you just have to apply, because I didn't apply to jobs at Harvard for a while because I thought I would never actually get one. But I think this was the first or second job that I ever applied to at Harvard, and I wound up getting it. So you can't get in if you don't try.
Right. That's a great point. Cool. I just have one last question for you, Andrew, which is you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I would say that right now I'm still trying to figure out what my next big project is going to be. I thought it was going to be YouTube for a long time. I don't think it's going to be YouTube. They say that when you're starting a business, you should ask yourself, okay, what do people ask me for help with? What do people look to me for help with, and how can I help just other people with that? People don't really ask me for help with music. People don't really ask me for help with YouTube or alumni relations or any of these things. I think the thing that people actually look to me for help with is finance. My dad has asked me for help with his stock portfolio before. I've had roommates who have asked me for help picking stocks before. I'm taking a class at Harvard Extension School, Principles of Economics, and if I take classes there for long enough, I could get a master's degree in finance. But that wouldn't happen for another, it would take at least another 3 years, I think. So I'm trying to figure out what I really, really want to do. And it might not happen within the next few years, but I think it will happen eventually. And I don't know. I know that I've always, this is going to sound really egotistical, but I've always felt like I was, I don't, I hate to use this word, but destined to do something great. And right now I'm just trying to figure out what that is.
Gotcha. Well, you're in a good place while you figure it out, and that's
Okay.
definitely helpful. So, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it coming on.
Great. Well, have a great evening then, and best of luck with everything.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye now.
Bye.